Praise the Lord, everyone.
Amen.
Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning, and it's another beautiful day. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to dive right in here, and we're going to worship God for a while, and then we're going to study His Word. But before we do anything, we're going to do what we always do, and we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee, O God, for all that Thou hast done for us, thanking Thee that Thou hast given us this place where we can come together and worship Thee, where we can be in Thy presence, where we can lay hold on Thy promises and be assured that Thou art right here with us. And I pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would be here today. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we sing unto Thee, as we worship Thee, and as we study Thy Word. And I pray that everything we do here this morning will be done according to Thy perfect will. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to be starting in the chorus book this morning, and you know, I got an email from Ellie yesterday. She had some requests, which is perfectly fine. We do take requests here, and there were some choruses she wanted to sing, and it just so happens I like singing these choruses anyway, so we're going to go ahead and do that. We're starting with number 83 in the chorus book, From the Rising of the Sun, 83. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going,
of the Lord.
Glory to God. Well, next we're going to number 64. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Number 64. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Request is actually a song that's going to fit very well with the message today. And it's number 105 in the chorus book, Only Believe, number 105. Only believe. God. And you know, we're going to do one more song that we have here in the chorus book, and it's number 31, I Know the Lord Will Make a Way, number 31. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. He'll heal your body, He'll save your soul, He'll make you happy, He'll make you I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know I know the Lord will answer all Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it is amazing. It truly is amazing how quickly time goes when you're worshiping the Lord. I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this morning for Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee for Thy blessings. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power, for Thy mercy and Thy grace, which has kept us for so many years. And we come before Thee believing that Thou will continue to keep us, continue to guide us, continue to direct us. We pray, O God, that Thou would be with us each and every step we take. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for Thy kingdom. And I ask, O God, that Thou wouldst bless the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. We're going to open our hymnals now, our Melodies of Praise hymnals, to number 112, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, number 112.
Understand.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, we are... Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it is time to get started in the Word, and that's always a wonderful thing to do, something I always look forward to. And before we do that, I do have just a couple of announcements. Of course, we all know that today we're having our Thanksgiving dinner. We like to do that every year, the first Sunday in November, and we're so thankful we're able to do that. We're going to be having that after the service. And then I did want to mention we do have a new website for the church, and you can go to that website at truthtabernaclewi.org. And one more announcement. Tomorrow night, we're going to be gathering here to pray. I'm going to be here at 7, and if anybody else would like to join us, you're very welcome to do so, but we're going to be praying about this election and the future of this country and all of the shenanigans that are going on, because right now, we do need to be strong in the Lord, and we do need to pray. So if anybody would like to join us for that, you're very welcome to do so. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be going into the Word today. We're going to be starting with a psalm, as I often like to do, Psalm 121. We're going to start with Psalm 121, and I am calling this message this morning, God Can Do Anything. God can do anything. Praise the Lord. Before we read even one verse this morning, we need to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee once again for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for thy grace, thanking thee for this holy book that thou hast given us. Thanking thee that thou hast given us this word that we can feast upon. Thanking thee for the treasures that we find therein. And I pray, Lord, that as we look upon thy blessed word, I pray that thou would inspire us, that thou wouldst give us great understanding of thy scriptures. Move upon us with thy spirit. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, I pray. And I pray, Lord, that thou would be here with us every step of the way as we begin this study. I pray that there would be no hindrances here today, but I pray that thy spirit would have free course. I pray, O God, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we live in a world that's full of corruption. We live in a world where there are many evil people doing many evil things all the time. We live in a world where evil is a constant thing, much like it was in the days of Noah. But we serve a God who is in charge. We serve a God who has no limitations. We serve a God who can do anything. And there are people out there doing things, working their plans, thinking that they have control over this or that. But in reality, it is God who is in control, ultimately. And you know, people may try to do things, but God only lets them go so far, doesn't He? And we serve a God who will help us, who will sustain us, even when times are hard, even when things are rough. We serve a God who is with us, and we serve a God who can do anything. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start with Psalm 121, verse 1, which tells us, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Isn't that so amazing that our God, our Almighty God, cares about us so much, takes such an interest in our lives, that He is willing to reach down from heaven and touch our lives and help us. He is our helper. In fact, we looked at that last week, didn't we? But He is our helper. Our help comes from Him. And you know, there are a lot of religions out there with false deities, false gods, false goddesses, and every single one of them is really just the devil in disguise. We know that to be true. In fact, we read that in scriptures, don't we? But we serve a God who is our helper, and we serve a God who has no limitations, and that's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? Verse 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now, isn't that wonderful? God doesn't sleep. He doesn't need to sleep. You know, I can't help but think of 1 Kings 18, when the prophet Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to a showdown at Mount Carmel. And they were there trying to offer their sacrifices to Baal. And Baal couldn't light that fire. And so Elijah was teasing him a little bit. What was one of the things he said? Well, maybe your God is sleeping. Cry louder. And they did. They really tried to get their God's attention, but they couldn't do it. We serve a God who never slumbers, who never sleeps. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We don't ever have to worry about our God being unavailable. He's always there. He's an ever-present help in trouble. And he doesn't slumber or sleep. Praise God. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Praise the Lord. We serve a God with no limitations. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. And he does help us. He is with us. We live in uncertain times. We don't know what's going to happen. But he does. And he has control. Our God who doesn't sleep, who doesn't slumber. Our God who doesn't suffer weaknesses. He's never stuck. He's never confused. He's never in a situation where he doesn't know what to do. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, and we're going to be going down to the 25th verse. And Isaiah 40, verse 25 tells us, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? You see, there is no equal for God. He is Almighty God, and there are no others beside him. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get confused. He doesn't get weak. He doesn't faint. And there's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We serve an Almighty God, a God in whom is no weakness, and he gives us the strength we need to endure to the end. Praise the Lord. We do serve a God who truly can do anything. And we're going to go now and we're going to look at some of the things God did to help his people. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to be spending quite a bit of time in 2 Kings today, because there's just so much here in this book, so many good things of God. 2 Kings chapter 4, and in this story, we're going to read of a story, something that happened to a woman who lived long ago. She was in dire straits, you could say. because she owed a debt. Her husband had died, she owed a debt. And back then, if you owed a debt, sometimes what they would do is they would come and take your children to pay that debt. And those children would become servants and slaves, if you can imagine. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? But that's one of the things they would do back then. And so this woman was worried. She didn't know what to do. But she served a God who can do anything, just as we do today. And something I want us all to keep in mind as we read these words in 2 Kings, this story and the other stories we're going to read, is that these are things that weren't just made up, they actually happened. These are things that really happened in the past, and we serve a God who still helps his people today. But this woman didn't know what to do. But there was a prophet in Israel, a mighty man of God, Elisha the prophet, who had succeeded Elijah the prophet. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." So there was a debt that she couldn't pay. She was on the verge of losing her children. No parent ever wants to lose their children. So if you can just imagine the agony she must be going through here. But verse 2 tells us, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Now that's poor. We live in a country today where a lot of people think they're poor. They think they don't have much. But you know what? If you took the things that even the poor people in this country had and compared them to the poor things, the poor people in other countries around the world, African nations, North Korea, places such as that, we would quickly realize that even the poor in this country are very, very blessed. They have so much. We have so much. But you know, this woman didn't have much at all. The only thing she had in the house was a little bit of oil. A little bit of oil. But we serve a God who can do anything, and we serve a God who can multiply a little and turn it into a lot. In fact, we see that throughout the scriptures time and time again. But all she had was this pot of oil. So what did Elisha say? He didn't go to her and say, "Well, oh, that's too bad. There's really nothing I can do for you." No. In verse 3, it tells us, "Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." In other words, borrow a lot of vessels. A lot of them. "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So if you can imagine, all she had was that one pot of oil. Didn't have much at all. But they borrowed vessels, and they started pouring out that oil. And that oil just kept coming and coming and coming. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. All of a sudden, the oil stopped. When there were no more empty vessels, that's when the oil stopped. But every vessel they had was full. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." And there was so much oil there that not only was there enough to pay the debt, but there was enough left over for her to live on. You see, we serve a God who can do anything. And verse 8 tells us, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." Elisha was a prophet, and obviously he traveled a lot, and there was a woman who just God put it on her heart for her to feed this man, to feed Elisha, and she had, obviously, she had a soft heart toward God and just wanted to help this man of God. And verse 9 tells us, "And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." So, not only had she been feeding him, but she thought, well, why don't we make a little room for him? We'll make him a little chamber, get him a bed, someplace where he can rest during his travels. Transportation was a little different back then. A lot of times they walked places. Otherwise, they might have ridden a camel or some other animal to get to where they were going. But, you know, traveling was exhausting. They didn't have cars like we do today. They certainly didn't have planes like we do today. So Elisha would often be weary on his journey, and this woman said, well, let's make him a room. And she did. This was obviously a very kind woman. And verse 11 tells us, "And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. So he's asking this woman, well, what can I do for you? Would you like me to put in a good word with the king for you? But she wasn't interested in that. And verse 14 tells us, and he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. So, this woman, you know, she was past her childbearing years. But yet God was going to work a miracle, because we serve a God who can do anything. A God who can do anything. And this was something he had done before. Remember Sarah and Abraham? That story, how God promised that Sarah would bring forth a child even though she was old. She couldn't believe it. She laughed. And she thought, there's just no way. But we serve a God who can do anything. And so this woman was going to have a child. Verse 17, And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. So they didn't know what was wrong with this boy. But I'm sure they were so happy to have. But something went wrong. Something. He was obviously having pain in his head. We don't know what it was. It doesn't say specifically what happened to him, but it was obviously a very serious thing. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. He died. And that's a very sad thing. But you know, When you serve a God who can do anything, that doesn't mean that people stay dead. Sometimes they don't. Praise the Lord. And verse 21 tells us, And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. She said, I know what I have to do. I have to run to the man of God. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive, and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. So Elisha saw her coming, and he said, Gehazi, go meet her, see what's going on, see if anything's wrong. And so Gehazi did. And you know, this woman, she must have had faith, because she answered that all was well, even though her child had just died. But she must have believed. She must have believed that God can do anything. And verse 27 tells us, And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any man salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. So she did not want to leave this man of God. She knew she needed a miracle. She needed a miracle. And Elisha sent his servant on ahead, Go put my staff upon this child. You know, for most people this would have seemed completely hopeless. Most people wouldn't have tried at this point. Why bother, most people would say. But this woman went to the man of God because she truly believed that God can do anything. And he can. Praise the Lord. Verse 31. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. You know, amazing things can happen when you go and you shut the door and pray unto the Lord. Find that quiet place where you can just be in the Lord's presence. Because we do serve a God without limitations. We do serve a God that neither slumbers nor sleeps. And amazing things can happen when you start praying to the Lord. And verse 34 tells us, And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Again, we see that number 7, as we do so many times in the scriptures, that number of completion and perfection. We see that number so many times. In fact, we're going to see it in another story we're about to read here in 2 Kings. But this child was made alive by the power of God, the creator of the universe, the God who can do anything. Praise the Lord. And this is a great miracle. Can you imagine this woman? First, she experiences one miracle where she gives birth to a child wherein it would have been considered impossible. And yet she did it. And then that child died, and she saw that child brought back to life. That is two incredible, amazing, mind-boggling miracles. And I tell you what, after this happened, I'm sure this woman had great faith. Great faith. Praise the Lord. And so this child was alive. And in verse 36 it tells us, "And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out." Praise the Lord. A God who can do anything. He can take a little and turn it into a lot. He can even raise the dead. Praise the Lord. That's no hard thing for our Creator. He can do all things. And verse 38 tells us, "And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lapful, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not." Obviously, there wasn't very much to eat at this time. There was a dearth in the land. And they would eat whatever they could find. And someone obviously confused these gourds, these wild gourds, with edible food. And that does happen sometimes in nature. You've got to be careful with some of these things that you pick. I know a lot of people will eat mushrooms, and some of them are actually quite poisonous, so you got to make sure you don't eat the wrong ones. Yeah. But there's a lot of things out there that can be dangerous, and it was the case with these wild vines. It must have looked like something they had eaten before, something that was edible, but obviously there was a problem here. But verse 40 tells us, "So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof." Now hopefully nothing like that will happen later today. I think we'll be fine. Praise the Lord. The food's usually pretty good, so. But he said, "Then bring meal." And he cast it into the pot. And he said, "Pour out for the people, that they may eat." And there was no harm in the pot. So this food had been poisonous. There was something wrong here, but they added this meal to it, and all of a sudden, it was no longer harming the people. And it's such a wonderful thing to have the God who can do anything leading us and guiding us and directing us. You know, I don't think Elisha came up with that on his own. The Lord instructed him to do that. You know, good things happen when you follow the Lord's instructions. Verse 42. "And there came a man from Bel Shalesha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set this before? 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof." Kind of reminds you of the miracles of Jesus, doesn't it? The feeding of the 5,000. Very similar. And those loaves they had back here, these weren't big loaves of bread. They were small loaves. So this servitor, he thought, well, we got a lot of guys here. This isn't going to be enough. But God is able to take a little and make it a lot, multiply it, and they had leftovers. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Verse 44, "So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord." And in chapter 5, we're going to read about another thing that happened to a man who was in desperate need of help. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1 tells us, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." This was a man who was very powerful. And he was probably quite wealthy too. He had a lot. But none of that really mattered much because he had a deadly, painful disease. He had leprosy. So even though he had all those other things, I'm sure it didn't seem like much to him because he was going to lose his life. He was terminal, I guess you could say. And it didn't seem like there was much hope for him. But there is a God who can do anything. And this man, Naaman, who wasn't even a Jewish person, but a Syrian, was about to be introduced to the God who can do anything. Verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. The faith of a little child. She didn't say maybe, possibly, but she said, oh, if she met this man of God, he would recover him of his leprosy. Not an ounce of doubt in that statement. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Now that's a lot of money. Clothes were also very valuable, but even the silver is a lot of silver. A talent weighs about 75 pounds. So if you can imagine, 75 times 10, that's how much silver there was, and 6,000 pieces of gold. And of course, we know that silver today is even very valuable. You can buy a tiny little 1 ounce gold coin, and it's, I don't know what it's worth now, but I checked a while back, and I think it was about $1,100 for one coin. And actually, you know, silver is quite valuable, too. Back in the day, the United States had these half dollars with Benjamin Franklin on the front. They're very rare now. Those were prior to the Kennedys, and they were mostly silver. And so they were highly sought after, and you can hardly ever find them, but if you buy one today, they're worth about $30. One little coin. So just a little FYI there, if you ever do find a Ben Franklin half dollar, don't throw it out or spend it. So this was a lot of money, a lot of silver, a lot of gold, and clothes were very expensive too. So 10 changes of raiment. Most people probably only had 1 or 2 changes of clothes, and this man was being very generous in sending 10. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now this king, he didn't know anything about this. He was completely caught off guard by this. And if you could imagine, you're a king of Israel, and you get this messenger and all of these goods saying, we've come to you so that you can heal our man here of leprosy. And the king didn't know what to make of this. The king was worried. He thought maybe the Syrians were trying to pick a fight with him, start a war. And verse 7 tells us, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Well, I have to give him credit that he at least acknowledged that he wasn't God. You know, if something like this happened today where they wanted to send a leper to Barack Obama, he'd probably give it a shot. I'll heal him, you know. And of course, we know he wouldn't be able to do it, but at least this king realized, hey, I'm not God. I can't kill and make alive. So he was afraid. And verse 8 tells us, "And it was so when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Elisha, he reassures the king. He says, "That's okay. Just send him to me. Just send him to me." And verse 9, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." Now this was a notable figure in the Syrian kingdom, a man with great power, a man who was highly acknowledged, and he had much fame, I'm sure, a very powerful man in that Syrian kingdom. And he came to the door of Elisha, was probably expecting a lot of fanfare. Maybe he thought they'd blow the trumpets and greet him, this great and mighty man. But actually, before Naaman could receive a miracle from God, he needed to be humbled. He needed to be humbled, and Elisha knew that, insomuch that Elisha didn't even go out to greet him. He sent his messenger. Verse 10, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Seems like a simple thing to do. The natural reaction for that would be, "Oh, that's wonderful. You mean that's all I have to do to be cured of this deadly disease? This disease that's slowly taking my life? All I have to do is go wash, dip myself in the Jordan 7 times? That's it? That's all I have to do to be clean?" You'd think most people would rejoice and be happily on their way, but not this man. Verse 11 tells us, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Of course, washing in the Abana and the Pharpar rivers wasn't going to do it. It wasn't the water that was going to make him clean. It was the obedience to the command. And you know, a lot of people today, you'll find they have that same reluctance to be baptized, don't they? That same refusal. "Oh, what's the point? It's just an outward sign. I'd just be getting wet." Hey, it's a command. And if you can do it, you need to do it, if you've never done it. And we baptize in Jesus' name here because that's the way it's done in the Bible. You can look up every example of baptism in the Bible, and every single time it is in Jesus' name. And so we do it that way here. And a lot of times you will see that similar reluctance. Here this man, all he had to do was go and dip himself in that water, and it was going to save his life. And he didn't want to do it. But verse 13 tells us that his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean?" See, it was a simple thing that he was told to do. Just as baptism, too, is a simple thing. Why do people fight it so much? I don't understand why people fight it so much. Such a simple thing to do, to wash and be clean. And verse 14, "Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." So this man was humbled, he relented, and he went and dipped 7 times in the Jordan River. And you know what? When he came up out of that water, he was clean. His flesh came again, which is a miracle, if you can imagine. He was a leper, and leprosy is a horrible disease. Sometimes parts would actually fall off, but he was restored. His flesh came again, and he had the flesh of a little child. Praise the Lord. What a miracle.
Amen.
You see, we serve a God who can do that sort of thing because he is a God who can do anything. Verse 15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. You know, before this miracle happened, Naaman referred to God as his God, as Elisha's God. And now he's referring to this as the one true only God. You see, he had an experience with God. He met the God who can do anything. And so he was very grateful for that, and he wanted to give Elisha a reward for this great miracle that had been done, but Elisha knew that it was nothing that he had done. You see, when God uses us, we can never take the credit for it. Elisha understood that, and he also understood that you cannot buy miracles from the Lord. You cannot buy healing with money. You cannot buy blessings from God with money. You can't buy prayers with money. You know, a lot of ministers, a lot of Catholic priests, a lot of religious people, they would take money for praying for people. But we don't do that here. If you want prayer, we're happy to pray for you. You don't have to give us anything for it. Praise the Lord. What we see here, Naaman was a grateful man. And he offered a reward to Elisha. But in verse 16 it tells us, but he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. So he's asking for God's mercy here. He had to go into that awful place, but he wasn't going to be worshiping Rimmon because he had an experience with the one true God. And verse 19 tells us, and he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my servant hath spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi, he saw all of those good things, all of that silver, all of that gold, all of that raiment. He was looking at it and thinking, you know, I'd kind of like to have some of that. And the more he thought about it, obviously, he decided, well, I'm going to go after it. I'm going to get some of that. And verse 21 tells us, so Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. So not only did he disobey God and his master, but he lied too. He went and lied to Naaman. Oh, we got 2 guys here that just came here down from Mount Ephraim, 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Oh, we're going to need 75 pounds of silver and 2 changes of clothes. You know, He was lying. He was going to suffer greatly for doing so. Verse 23, and Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. Naaman was feeling generous, wasn't he? And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. So this servant, Gehazi, who knew better, he had obviously been with Elisha for some time. He had seen the miracles of God that God wrought through this mighty prophet. But he got greedy. He got greedy, and he took the silver, he took these clothes, and he tried to hide them, didn't he? But you can't hide things from the Lord. Verse 25, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no hither, whither? I didn't go anywhere. Lying again. And that's the way lies are, too. You lie once, and then you have to keep lying. Otherwise, you blow your cover. One lie leads to another. And pretty soon those lies lead to other sins. Sin has that type of effect on people. One sin leads to another. Greater sins and greater sins. So he lied to Elisha. I didn't go anywhere. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. You see, sin has that kind of impact on people. Sin makes us dirty. It may not necessarily make us lepers today, but it does make us unclean. And so this man was going to have to bear his sins for the rest of his life. People would see him, they would know he was a leper. Couldn't hide that. And he had to suffer the consequences of his evil deeds, of his lies, of his greed. And we're going to continue now in the 6th chapter for just a little while, for just a little bit. We're going to see yet another miracle from God. You see, when we read these stories in the scriptures, they should build our faith, because it just demonstrates that we serve a God who can do anything. A God who can do anything. In fact, not even gravity can overcome the Lord. You see, our God, who dwells outside our realm, who doesn't dwell in time at all, he's not subject to time like we are. He's not subject to the laws of nature like we are. He's not subject to gravity like we are. So overcoming gravity is no hard thing for the Lord. Our Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. They were too crowded in the place they were dwelling. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. So they were going to build a new place to live. Seemed pretty simple back then, didn't it? Now, they didn't have to worry about building permits and the like and the such that we have to worry about today. I don't think they had property taxes either. They just thought, well, let's go expand. We're going to go build a new place. And that's what they did. And verse 3, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Have you ever borrowed something from someone and then you broke it? feels awful, doesn't it? Then you have to go to that person and say, I'm sorry, but that thing you loaned me, I kind of wrecked it. But this man had borrowed this axe, and the axe fell in the water. It was heavy. It sank to the bottom. There was no way he was going to find it. But God has no limitations. And verse 6 tells us, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now, if you know anything about iron, we know that iron does not typically float. It does not typically swim. But it did here. It rose to the top. And so this man, I'm sure he was greatly relieved, was able to fetch that axe head out of the water. Another miracle from God. Our God can do anything, and sometimes he'll do little miracles for us too. Things that seem small, perhaps. You know, in the big scheme of things, this probably didn't seem that very important, but it was important to this man, and God helped him. Therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it. See, God's not subject to gravity like we are. In fact, God is the creator of the universe, who made all things, who perfectly positioned this planet, hung it on nothing. You know, if this planet was just a little bit closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. And if it was just a little further away from the sun, we'd all freeze to death. It is in the exact perfect spot, and only God could have done that. I don't buy into the whole notion that it was all by chance. That is ridiculous. But we're going to go to one final place in Scriptures before we close this morning. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. You know, in the chapters we just read, we saw a lot of miracles happen. We saw God multiply a little and make it a lot. We saw God raise the dead. We saw God cleanse the lepers. And those were things that you saw in the Old Testament. But there was one miracle you never saw in the Old Testament, and that is the casting out of demons and evil spirits. But there was one who came to this earth, God manifest in the flesh, the Lord robed in flesh, wearing flesh, just as we would wear a garment. He came to this earth to save us. And the God who can do anything was also able to cleanse people of evil spirits, of demons, of devils. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, we're going down to the 14th verse. And in verse 14 we read, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And of course we know that's talking about Jesus. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And of course, there it doesn't mean a stupid spirit, although you could take it that way too if you wanted, I guess. But it was a spirit, an evil spirit, that actually took the speech from this boy. He couldn't speak. He was dumb. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. You know, this boy here, gnashing his teeth, foaming at the mouth, pining away. And if he went into some churches today, they might have mistaken it for a blessing from the Lord. You know, some of these churches, there's some pretty strange things that go on in them. But this boy, he had a devil. Foaming at the mouth, gnashing his teeth, pining away. And His parents, they didn't know what to do. They were at wit's end. But then they met one day, the God who can do anything. The God who can do anything. Verse 19, he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Something amazing was going to happen. Something incredible. And verse 20 tells us, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. That would be quite a sight, wouldn't it? This boy needed help, desperately needed help. And I know that most people today don't even believe that devils exist. There are some people who profess to be Christians who don't believe that devils exist. But I tell you what, they existed back here. And if they existed back here, they still exist today. And that's one of the reasons we see the things that we're seeing happen today. People doing horrible, horrible things. Why? Because they have devils. I know a while ago, a couple years ago, it was popular. They had that game of knockout. And these young thugs would go out and they would just try to punch someone hard enough to knock them out. Punch them for no reason. What would make somebody do something like that? Devils. Nowadays, if people act like this, they think, well, we'll just give them medication, you know. They obviously need medication. And that's their solution. But we serve a God who can do anything, a God who can overcome these evil spirits, these devils. And verse 21 tells us, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible. Because we serve a God who can do anything. He's not limited. All things are possible. If only we could just believe that. If only we could just lay that to heart. I tell you what, if we could truly believe that, we'd be seeing a lot more miracles. Because we serve a God who truly can do anything. And you know, we've seen a lot of answered prayers lately. We've seen diseases reversed. We've seen good reports. We've seen healings. We've seen wonderful things from God. Because He is a God who can do anything, but we have to believe it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to see anything happen. You have to believe. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. But there he was, God robed in flesh, a God who can do anything. Those evil spirits, those unclean spirits were no match for Almighty God, Creator of the universe. We serve a God who can do anything. We don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be afraid of Hillary Clinton, even if they do put her in the White House. Which, you know, it's an amazing thing to think about because so much has been revealed about her. And quite clearly, she should be in prison. She's broken the law so many times. Irrefutable evidence. And, you know, even the FBI can't stand her. They were having a mutiny there. There are piles of resignations on FBI Director James Comey's desk. So when he had an opportunity to reopen that investigation, he jumped on it. But you know what? They might put her in there anyway because it's a crooked system. It's crooked, but you know what? We serve a God who can do anything, and we don't have to be afraid of them. We don't have to be afraid because we serve Almighty God. Praise the Lord. A God of miracles. A God who can heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. And that should build our faith. We could be looking at some very difficult times in the future, but isn't it wonderful to know that going into those difficult times, we serve a God who can do anything? A God who doesn't slumber. A God who doesn't sleep. A God with no limitations. A God who's never stuck. A God who's never confused. For He is our Almighty God. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, thanking Thee for Thy promises, thanking Thee for the knowledge that Thou art right here with us. For we know that Thou truly can do all things, Thou canst do anything, and we believe, O God, that Thou art the Almighty God, the only wise God, the only true God, our Savior. And we look to Thee for salvation, we look to Thee for hope, for we know we have no hope but in Thee. And I pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to abide with us as we go forward today, for we truly, desperately need Thy help. I pray, Lord, that we would walk with Thee each and every day. I pray that we would all be filled with Thy Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, we pray, Lord. And I pray, O God, that as we go forth here today, that Thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to close with a chorus. I know which one I want to sing, but I got to look up the number here. Praise the Lord. Number 89 in a chorus, but God can do anything. Number 89. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
cannot fail. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.